For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I heard gunshots last night. I heard gunshots the day before that. And the day before that.
Every day gets scarier.
This Frankford mom says last night around 8:15, she heard the gunshots that police say hit and killed innocent bystander 29-year-old Tylisha Watson of Emerald Street. Investigators say Watson was barbecuing with friends on the 1800 block of Harrison Street when a driver pulled up and started shooting. The manager of G&R Mini Mart on the corner says this surveillance video shows the very moment bullets started flying, sending people ducking and sprinting to safety.
It's not safe to do anything no more. That's just how I feel. It's not safe to do too much anything, not even to hang out on your porch.
Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, the 4 o'clock hour, 4:07 in the p.m., 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Chris, I know that sounded a lot like perhaps folks from St. Louis. Yeah. That's Philadelphia. Yeah. Same difference.
Tim, I tell you what I hate when these type of situations occur, when an innocent African-American, most of the time it's a male between the ages of 18, 30, is gunned down during some senseless act of violence with a firearm. And instead of community leaders coming together and saying enough is enough, that we've got to do something about this within our community, we're killing each other. You know, this is not poverty, or this is not the white man making us do this. This is not anybody forcing us to do this. This is us killing us. But instead, we'll talk about guns and how we need to take away Second Amendment rights. And there's too many guns in the community. And if we could just confiscate all the guns, that we wouldn't have senseless shootings like this. That's what I hate every time we have these senseless, because we won't talk about the real issue. And that are the people that are committing these crimes and the conditions that are helping these people create these do these crimes.
That's 1,000% correct. If you look at the FBI crime stats, every year more people are killed by other means than firearms. But we don't ban knives and clubs or fists, right? We don't deal with the root cause. We don't deal with the cultural problem of violence. We instead blame an inanimate object and say it's all the Republicans' fault.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every night, every Monday morning, we talk about, probably in the morning show, and I think we talk about it on our show, Chicago over the weekend. Usually, you know, 30, 40 people shot, 10, 15 people killed. That's every single weekend. When that happens one time during a mass shooting at a bowling alley or a movie theater or something like that, it's news for the next 3 weeks, and it's 24/7.
And it's political call to arms. It's unbelievable. Chris, because of the effects of Democrat-ruined America, another phenomenon is occurring, and that's the fact that people are choosing to vote with their feet. They're moving out of these urban centers. We see it right here in St. Louis. Major businesses are moving out to the suburbs and beyond, and people are having the opportunity because of the COVID pandemic. A lot of businesses have gone to hybrid models where people can work from home, and we're going to be joined once again, Chris, by a frequent friend of the show who we speak with quite a bit. Our favorite name in radio history, Andrew Krapuschets of Red Balloon, back with us today. Andrew, how you doing?
Hello, sir.
I'm doing really well. Nice to talk to you guys. I mean, I hate the story that, unfortunately, we had to talk about earlier that happened in Philadelphia. But yeah, awesome to talk to you all.
Yeah. Great.
So, Andrew, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, and, you know, we monitor Red Balloon, keep an eye on you guys, because, you know what, I hope you tell everybody, we were there with you from the very beginning when you were a one-man band.
Absolutely.
And then you added Christina Twitty as your right-hand woman, and she's a good friend of ours and was in Missouri for many decades. Red Balloon has surged past 1 million job searches in just over 6 months. Andrew, talk about this incredible success. You have taken you have made lemonade from the pandemic like no one else, and it's benefiting Americans all across the country, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and you know, when we started, my very best sales rep was Mr. Joe Biden because he was out there really giving people heart palpitations and panic about what he was going to make them do in the workplace with a lot of the vaccine stuff. But the reality is that even as the vaccine mandate panic has subsided, Still 41% of companies are requiring vaccines. And so the issue is still there. But obviously Red Balloon, we started it before that because we wanted to push back against wokeness in the workplace. Because it used to be that you could go to work and you could just have the freedom to be joyful and work hard and have your own opinion and live your values out loud. And it was awesome. And even if you were a liberal or conservative, you could disagree and still get to work together. But unfortunately, America has switched, and that is not the case like it should be anymore. And people are losing their jobs. In fact, we pushed for coming out conservative in the month of June. We thought that would be a good month to come out conservative for a lot of people. And we reached hundreds of thousands of people with that message, and many people got back to me. I got dozens of stories of people saying, you know, I came out conservative in the month of June at my office, and guess what? I have a bunch of new friends now. It was awesome. There was a lot of people that were just keeping their head down, but we actually kind of lined up on a lot of stuff. And then there were other people, like someone who got back to me and said, hey, I tried what you suggested, and I worked at Disney, and now I don't work at Disney anymore. But that's okay. Because we're going to help him find another job at redballoon.org. So we've been having a party. It's been really, really fun. And obviously what we're trying to do is push back against the craziness that's in America, stand up for freedom, and get back to the great country that we all know and love and have enjoyed. And we're just doing our little part in our little corner of the world.
Andrew, tell us more about the Indy Tech Council.
Yeah, so Indy Tech Council. So one of my good friends, Michael Seifert, who helped found Public Square. And Public Square, if you don't know about them, they were founded in San Diego. And he founded it because he wanted to go to a coffee shop that didn't make him put a mask on. And so he thought, I wonder if there's a list of coffee shops that aren't going to make me wear a mask or, you know, all the craziness that goes along with that. And so he created this app. And it really is just, he says, look, the public square is a place where we should be able to have our freedom. We should be able to have opinions that we shouldn't be censored. And so he started in San Diego. It went to California, and now it's in all 50 states. They have over 10,000 businesses on public square. And these are businesses that are standing up for freedom. And if you want to vote with your dollars, you can go to public square. We also have Parler. And of course, we all know the Parler story, how they got canceled by big tech. And nearly killed them, and then they kind of rose from the ashes. And then another company called BizFluence. So the four of us got together and said, you know, we need to have a place where independent tech businesses that are not going to cancel people, but actually believe the Constitution is a good thing and America is a great country. How do we get these people together? Because there's strength in numbers. How do we be, you know, co-belligerents and a force multiplier for each other? So it was just a couple of weeks ago we founded the Indy Tech Council, and we've seen all kinds of businesses, you know, places like Liberation Technologies, which are really looking to replace Amazon Web Services. Lore TV's on there, and more are coming every day because there's a lot of businesses out there that are tired of being beholden to big tech. And being in a position where they have their freedoms completely curtailed by these huge monopolistic tech companies. So that's why we founded Indy Tech Council. And again, I'm not very good at sitting around and not doing anything. So sure, why not? Let's do this too.
Speaking to Red Balloon CEO Andrew Krepuschets at redballoon.org. Andrew, I just pulled up your website as you guys were just chatting there, and it looks amazingly different in a better way as you have expanded yourselves literally from, looks like, Maine to Washington to California to Florida, down into Mexico, up into the People's Republic of Canada, even land of Trudeau. And your job categories, Andrew, literally go from A to W with almost every letter of the alphabet in between. This is something, Andrew, that is not any longer really a niche or something eclectic or only a certain political persuasion. I mean, Andrew, there's got to be millions of Americans that are still in favor of freedom and liberty. They may not speak loud and boldly about it like you do, but they're more than happy to jump on Red Balloon and search for that dream job of the future that doesn't involve a woke workplace. Would you say that that's true?
Absolutely. And I mean, we have good news and bad news. The good news is the employers that have been on Red Balloon have found extraordinary employees. The problem is then they pull their job posting down. And so we've had thousands and thousands and thousands of people that we know we've placed in jobs with freedom-loving people. And I think I've told you guys this before, but it still blows me away. I've run a lot of businesses over the years, but I've never been part of a business where I get unsolicited thank you notes from perfect strangers, like literally every day. People saying, you saved my marriage. You changed the trajectory of my family. Because I'm now in a job where I am respected, my freedoms are respected, and I can actually bring my A game to work. And so, you know, the blessing and the curse of Red Balloon is we have been filling jobs for our employers so fast that we, you know, we've had many, many, many thousands of jobs filled and pulled down. So we're doing more and more of that. The other thing that we're starting to do, because we've had a lot of employers say to us, you know, I'd really love to build a strong culture of execution at my company that is not woke. And I don't know how to do that. And so we launched just this last week, the Freedom Academy. Freedom Academy is a ton of content for employers, for managers, even for job seekers to understand how do I just be a hardworking person, understand the connection between authority and responsibility. How do I do an interview? What interview questions am I allowed to ask? And so we're trying to come alongside all of these thousands of freedom-loving employers and say, let's build strong cultures so that we can win in the marketplace and really be a blessing to all the employees that are involved.
Andrew, is there a particular company you can name that has been very popular and that a lot of people seeking jobs have been going to this particular company because of their policies?
Yeah, I'll pick out one off the top of my head, True Play Games, which is actually over in Texas. Mm-hmm. True Play Games, I was talking to the CEO. They make Christian video games. Mm. They've had over 280 people apply for jobs at their company. And he said that it has just been extraordinary. The type of people that are applying are just hardworking, focused people. I also know that Moms for America, she put out a job posting and had, she said, the 17 best people apply that she's ever dealt with before. She's like, unfortunately, I only have three jobs. So we're looking for more employers who are willing to stand up for freedom. But man, we've had just a wonderful response. It's been really fun.
Mm, it's fantastic indeed. Andrew, what would you say to our audience as to, you know, what they should do? I mean, What should they do if they find themselves, you know, in a woke workplace? They love the work they're doing, but it's just become untenable to be there. I mean, I guess they could go to Red Balloon, right? But I mean, would you tell them it's not scary anymore to acknowledge that fact and say there is something better out there for me? It's okay, because right now, Andrew, there's a lot of opportunity, right? And there's a lot of opportunity for people like the 1 million plus people you've already helped.
Yeah, no, there is an absolute ton of opportunity. And here's what I would tell people. You should not quit your job, but you should also not quit your beliefs. You should stand up for what you believe in. You should live your values out loud. Because it actually is a protection if you are courageous and do this. And it's not only a protection for you, it's protection for those around you. And what I mean by that is, if you think, you know what, I'm just a conservative, or I'm a Christian and I'm at work and I'm just keeping my head down and I'm not going to, just going to mind my own business. The people at work who have it out for you know exactly who you are. Don't kid yourself to think that you are flying under the radar. And if you then don't say anything and you are discriminated against because of who you are, there's nothing you can do about it. Whereas if you actually say, you know, that CRT training or that DEI training, I think that is against my religious beliefs and I would like to not go to that. Or if you do things like don't lie about your weekend, if you had a wonderful weekend at church with your family, tell people about it. If you do those things and then you're discriminated against in the workplace, you now have a very strong case to win on your way out the door. And actually, I've heard from a number of people that when you're courageous, when you're brave, you actually put yourself in a stronger legal position. So you don't have to be shrill. You don't have to be trying to jam your worldview down someone else's throat like they're doing to you. But what you should do is not be afraid to actually live your values out loud. And we have heard lots and lots of stories of people doing that. sometimes they get to keep their job, and their job, their environment in their job increases significantly. And sometimes they lose their job, and then come on over to redballoon.org, and we'll hook you up.
Excellent. And the website that people can go get the hookup?
Yeah, redballoon.org. And we've got tons of content on there. We also have, I started a podcast called The Courageous Economy. And I've talked to lawyers. In fact, I've talked to a number of lawyers who give you some insights on what you should do in those different situations at work. So go to redballoon.org. Go check out The Courageous Economy. And more importantly, tell your friends and family there's an opportunity to be brave in the workplace. There's an opportunity to live your values out loud. And if it costs you your job, we've got your back.
Mm. Redballoon.org, where they state, and it looks like they are, finding workplace freedom for more Americans and Missourians to boot. Andrew, thanks for joining Chris and I again today.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And always nice to talk to you. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Andrew, as well. Yeah, it's amazing. Chris, we literally had him on, like, I think a week after he launched this thing.
And
he had no idea if it was going to be successful or not. Big thanks to our old friend Christina Twitty, who said, hey, would you guys mind having Andrew on? He just launched this new company. He's a really cool dude. And we're like, all right, we'll give it a whirl.
Sure.
1 million plus job searches. It's
good for him.
Remarkable. We have the benefit, don't we, of being able to – I think we sometimes take for granted. We get to say whatever we want because we work for such an incredible independently owned local company. But a lot of people don't get to do what we do and have to keep their mouths shut at work.
Yeah.
So
we get to talk politics at work.
Mm-hmm. At work.
What a great country.
It's weird. We like to define – as soon as we are ready on to go on our growth spurt, I think we should advertise on Red Balloon.
That'd be great. Yeah. Man, that's a good idea.
That will come. That day will be here. Mm-hmm. Yes, it shall. All right. Thank you all for listening very much, as always, here on a very busy Monday. Chris, we're going to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, the man that can answer any question under the sun. That would be former U.S. Senator Jim Talent.
JMT, as we used to call
it. I love it. We've got a lot to speak with to the senator about, from Nancy Pelosi's Taiwan trip to what is next on the international stage in the Biden administration. Chris and I will do that when we return at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
Yay, Chris, let's crush the economy more. Good times ahead.
You know, the Democrats are cheering, but if you look back at legislative history, these total one vote or party line vote laws usually don't have a lot of popularity in the long run. So we shall see.
They don't have a good track record.
Exactly.
And I know that we know that we're going to speak to a guy who knows a lot about this and more.
Former U.S. Senator Jim Talent and chairman of the Reagan Institute.
Jim, you got the tux all pressed and ready to go up there on the Upper East Side?
I'm watching this and just wondering, you know, who's running the show. The political logic behind it escapes me. And I've stopped looking for three-dimensional chess. I just think they don't know what they're doing.
And now, former Senator Jim Talent.
Yep, he's at Jim Talent on Twitter. He's also the chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council. Joins us every Monday afternoon when he, all the times he is available. Jim, good afternoon. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Senator.
Hello, Senator.
Hello, Chris and Tim.
Hello.
Great to have you. So, Senator, you've had to vote on a lot of important legislation in your time. You've also studied a lot of important public policy positions. Senator, I went back and I remembered an article you discussed with Chris and Katie and I back in June that you wrote with Andy Puzner, and it was about how Joe Biden could bring inflation down. I'll bet, Senator, passing yet another massive spending bill like they did over the weekend was not part of that equation, was it?
Oh, it really wasn't. And what they're about, basically, the animating energy of the Democrats in Congress now is about their climate policy, which, as I've said on the show, and I've been saying this for many, many years, is basically to drive up the cost of energy and try and force people to use sources of energy that are not reliable and not affordable. And in this case, there's this, again, this enormous amount of subsidies they're spending on solar and wind and everything except sources of energy that actually work. And they call it by different things. You know, at the beginning of 2021, they passed something similar. It was bigger. And they said it was a stimulus measure. Now they're saying this is an anti-inflation measure. But I think it's really just more of this subsidies for wind and energy and a bunch of other stuff thrown in. And no, it's not going to make, it's not going to reduce inflation. I mean, there is nobody on the floor of the Senate who would bet their own money that this is going to reduce inflation. I guarantee you that.
Senator, we'll get away from politics for just a second. We had two big losses today in the entertainment industry and in, I guess, academia. David McCullough, the author of many historical books. And then, of course, Olivia Newton-John passed today as well. Do you have any thoughts on these two icons?
Well, you know, McCullough's a great scholar. The world of history is going to miss him, and I worry about what's happening in the world of history because it's being radicalized and put at the service of a political agenda. I have to say, of course, you hate to see when any important entertainment figure or any figure, somebody dies, you know, but I was never a huge Olivia Newton-John fan, so it's not like this affects me personally.
You didn't have the Let's Get Physical 45?
She was kind of a contemporary of mine. Mm-hmm. I guess that's about right. But no, I was never big on her pictures or her music.
All right, so
that's a revelation there.
We will not play any Olivia Newton-John going out
for you, though. I mean, and I need to make light of it.
Truly, indeed, Senator. You mentioned it so much of what the Democrats are about these days, and I think it's an excellent observation that we need to continue reminding people about is they literally are trying to transform America, one of their favorite words, but they're doing it in such a harmful fashion, and they claim they're doing it for the betterment of the environment and society. And I would like you to help us dispel a rumor we always hear from the left. From the left, we always hear the drumbeat that Republicans could care less about clean air or water. They want to destroy the environment. I mean, that couldn't be further from the truth, right? And I think about the fellow who's the namesake of the institute you run, Ronald Reagan himself. He was a guy from California who loved the natural beauty of our country and did so much to preserve it. I mean, he had the Reagan Ranch, which he so lovingly took care of. And, you know, I would say that it's Republican policies that are the most, you know, it's conservative policies that are the best conservationists. And would you talk about that a little bit? You know, the work that Republicans do on the interior never gets recognized.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Tim, what they're doing with these climate measures, like that's what they call them, really didn't have anything to do with pollution as we normally understand it. I mean, carbon dioxide's not a pollutant, not in the old sense of it. You know, this is not about smog or acid rain or anything like that. This is about reducing, I mean, they say it's about trying to use forms of energy that don't release greenhouse gases in order to reduce the amount or the degree of climate change. Well, in the first place, the amount of greenhouse gases being released in the global climate is almost entirely a function of what's happening in developing countries, and in particular in China and India. Mm-hmm. So we could cut our emissions in half, and it's not going to have any impact. We already have reduced emissions a great deal. In the second place, well, you know, I think climate change is a concern, but I am not convinced it's catastrophic, and I don't think we have to junk the economy and force tens and tens of millions of people into penury, reducing the quality of human life really all over the world. I think we can mitigate, we can take actions that mitigate the potential downsides of this, for example, by watching how we develop property on the shoreline, you know? So this isn't even a classic pollution issue, not in the sense in which I understood it when this, you know, when pollution issues became a big thing, which is when I was much younger. So no, I just, it's about forcing people to pay more for energy and also energy that's less reliable. And that's what the policy is, which is, by the way, why we're paying more for energy and why it's less reliable, because that's the policy. Okay. And so, yeah, I mean, and they're driving in it and using any excuse they can to drive it.
Senator, let's go back to the political map. Senate 2022. Are you worried about our Republican candidates in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Georgia?
Well, that's the, you know, as you guys know, because you're all veteranos.
Did you make up a word there?
Veteranos.
The Daily News and the spin goes back and forth. Okay. And I figured over the summer, we were going to get into, I don't want to call it a doldrum, but we were just going to be trading messages without really a lot of data. I think we'll know more after Labor Day. Now, what is true, Chris, is that it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter what the trends are, but the quality of the candidates matter a lot. And which is one of the reasons why when I vote in the primaries, I do take into account who do I think is going to be the strongest candidate in terms of the ability to win. I don't vote only based on that. And every voter has to decide on his or her own. But, you know, I've been the Republican nominee in races where I lost. I won 9. I lost 2. It's no great honor to be the nominee and not win. Okay. You can make a difference, but you really want to be able to win. So we'll see. Am I down? No. I'm going to look at trends after Labor Day when voters begin focusing.
That's excellent news indeed. Senator, thanks so much for all your time. As always, are you working on anything or got anything coming up soon you want to let our audience know about to keep an eye out for?
No, but I do want to say people should not get spooked too much by the Chinese reaction to the Pelosi trip, other than her weird remark about thinking when she was a kid you could dig through the earth, you know, to get to China. There's no discipline anymore today in what people say, but so the Chinese are crossing the media line a lot and shooting missiles. You know what? They do that all the time anyway, okay? Mm. And they've been stepping up that pressure for years. We can't allow them to decide when our officials can travel someplace around the world. And that ought to simply be the response. The other response we need, of course, is to forward base more assets along with our allies in the region to say to the Chinese, you know what? We have ships and aircraft and missiles too. Okay, so I will just add that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will write something about that.
You should. I think we just inspired you about
so.
Them apples. Yeah.
Yes, you
I think so. Wise and reassuring words there from former U.S. Senator, Chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council, Jim Talent. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to him next week. All right, we're going to take a break here. In the 5 o'clock hour, we've got Susie Moore, of course, from Red State. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I... No, we talked to Susie last week, didn't we? Mm-hmm. I think we did. Melding together.
Oh, yeah.
Can't keep them straight.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
A little birdie told me I think there's going to be a Chris's Corner at 4:40.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. Hey. What are you going to talk about, do you know?
The Democrats think they have a lifeline.
Ooh, interesting indeed.
Think about it.
Democrats think they have a lifeline. A fantastic tease about Chris's Corner, which is coming up next. As soon as we come back from this very short break, keep it right here. You're not going to want to miss that. And lots more at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Sarp Show, the cheering and cackling of Kamala Harris. Sorry we made you listen to that. We find this stuff so you don't have to. It's 4:47 in the p.m. Chris, there they are, cheering more taxes, regulations, IRS agents. I mean, I can't see Americans going, oh, yay, a bigger IRS. That should help things out.
And Chuck Schumer, if you watch any of the Sunday shows or read any of the liberal media, is the toast of Washington, how he was able to corral all 50 other Democrats and get them on board to vote for this massive $740 billion tax increase. They're all patting themselves on the back. They think that this is one of many lifelines that they have received over the last few months that's going to help them in 2022 midterms. I don't think so. Let's talk about it on Chris's Corner.
Chris. The whole thing is a joke.
Good God, we gotta do something here, people.
It's not personal, it's strictly business.
My favorite black leader of all time is Frederick Douglass, who asked after emancipation, well, we've just freed the blacks, now what are we gonna do with them? And his answer was, leave us alone.
And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
You know, we've been saying for months on the show, what are the Democrats going to run on in November? All they had was the massive infrastructure bill that they passed. And at the beginning of the administration, they had the American Rescue Plan. Other than that, we've been saying for months, what can they run on? The economy is horrible. Gas prices are high, even though they are going down. Inflation is at 9%. People's 401ks and pension plans have been completely wiped out. It looked like pretty bleak news for the Democrats, but I think the Democrats think they have a lifeline. If you really look back, the Democrats have passed a lot of legislation over the past year and a half. Let's go through a bit of it. They have passed an economic rescue plan, as I said, when they first came into office. They have passed a bipartisan, quote unquote, infrastructure plan. They have passed gun safety legislation, as they call it, that is bipartisan. They have passed the Electoral Count Act reform on a bipartisan basis. They have passed a $200 billion chip bill to bring domestic production of chips back to the United States. They have confirmed an African-American female, the first to the Supreme Court. And they've passed, as we heard in that clip, the Inflation Reduction Act. Also, two other pieces of legislation they passed last week. They passed the PACT Act, which was legislation designed for veterans who were affected by burn pits all around the world at military bases. And another kudo that the administration has been getting is Sweden and Finland was voted into the Congress voted to allow Sweden and Finland into NATO. You know, we've been talking for months how the congressional generic ballot for the first time showed Republicans in the lead by a large margin. Well, recent polls show that generic congressional poll now is virtually even. You know, the Democrats are crowing because they were able to get all 50 of their senators on board to pass a lot of this legislation. But as I said, a lot of this legislation is also bipartisan. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senator Jim Risch worked on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to get the Finland-Switzerland bill passed. Bob Menendez and John Tester, also with Jerry Moran, they all voted to help with the burn pit bill. Senator John Cornyn, as we know, Republican from Texas, helped pass the gun safety legislation bill. So a lot of legislation has passed, with a lot of it with Republican help. Now, we are a few months away from November. It's August 8th. Election is probably November 2nd or 3rd. Will any of this legislation affect the American people in their voting? I don't think so. Any of this stuff that I have just rattled off is not going to lower inflation, or put more money in people's pockets between now and November. Some say none of this will ever cut in taxes. They've tried to sell this Reduction in Inflation Act as lowering taxes because it lowers prescription drugs and increases the subsidies for Obamacare. That helps a handful of people, but not nearly enough, of course, to lower inflation. So, you know, all of us have been saying, and Vic, I know he's listening, he's right. Vic did not ever want to say red tsunami or red wave because he didn't want to jinx it. Vic, you are right. The polls, congressional polls, are tightening. The Democrats are going to have a lot of things to run on in November as accomplishments. I still think the Republicans are going to take over the Senate and the House, and we take over Congress. But it may not be the red wave tsunami that many of us are thinking. So give me your calls on what you think. 314-912-1019. Am I full of hot air? Am I full of crap? Or do you see the red wave coming and Republicans sweeping Democrats aside? Give us a call. 314-912-1019. And that is Chris's Corner.
Excellent food for thought there.
You ever thought about that, Tim? All the accomplishments? I just rattled off like seven or eight different things that are kind of major.
And I hate to say this, but I will, because we try to be honest here. And I criticize Republicans probably more than anybody on the station, because I used to be an elected one, and my own party drove me nuts more often than the Democrats. Because at least with the Democrats, I knew what they were going to do every day. I was not always expecting to get the knife in the back from folks on my side of the aisle who on any given day sided with the trial lawyers, sided with organized labor, worse ever sided with the horrid teachers' unions and tried to then excuse it all away. Chris, a lot of those examples you gave, which are notable ones for people to think about, would not have been accomplished but for Mitch McConnell Republicans.
At least half of those those conferences would have never passed without Republicans.
And I'm tired of us giving Mitch McConnell a pass when he does the wrong thing.
I agree.
Look, he did some great things during the Trump administration. Because of Mitch McConnell, we put more freedom and liberty-loving judges on the federal bench, I think, than ever before in our nation's history.
Yes,
I give him huge credit for that in 4 years. But now he's playing too much patty cake with the Democrats. We could have handed them complete and total annihilation this November. And now, like you said, Chris, it's like they're down on the mat, and we're the ones giving them the smelling salts and the water and sealing up their wounds.
You know what it is, Tim? I think basically McConnell and the Republicans see that they have a lead. It's like a football analogy, and they're playing prevent defense. And the Democrats are like throwing, you know, 20, 30-yard passes and are marching down the field, even though we've got a couple of touchdown lead. But they're playing prevent defense. And I think Mitch McConnell and the Republicans are so worried about making a mistake or saying something or doing something that ticks off the voters. And so they're going along with some of this stuff to call it bipartisan because, you know, they're worried about if they oppose any of it, they look like they're recalcitrant and all of that stuff.
And seriously, feel free to call me an ass if I'm wrong, but I am not in favor of bipartisanship right now at this point in American history. And I'm sorry if that's a bad thing to say, but this is not Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. This is not Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich. This Democratic Party is full of leftist socialists, and they play for keeps, Chris. Yeah. Why do we as Republicans always have to be the ones, okay, we'll go ahead and work with you? If the shoe was on the other foot, I doubt that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi would be working with Donald Trump on anything.
Yeah. You know, I'm all about we should have compromise and all of that, but I can't compromise. How do you compromise with people that want to have abortion all the way up to birth?
On demand.
How do you compromise with that?
Mm-hmm. And want to spend our grandchildren's future into oblivion. This bill that was passed is, come on. Yeah. We're going to spend how many more billions of dollars, and we think we're going to reduce inflation? It makes zero sense.
Tim, I think you were in the legislature. Do you remember when Obama passed some big some bill, spent a lot of money, and Jay Nixon said, we don't have to worry about this. Our children and grandchildren will be paying this.
He
you
did.
Remember that when he said
did.
That?
Yes.
I can't find that anywhere on the internet. They've totally scrubbed it. But Jay Nixon just told the truth, what Democrats believe.
One of the many reasons that Jay Nixon is now the vice president of the United States. Oh, wait, that's not
General
he's
counsel,
right.
Ain't he?
Yeah, he's a wealthy lawyer now. Yeah. So he's a wealthy Democrat trial lawyer. He's doing just fine.
One of the major firms downtown.
Yeah, exactly. Don't cry for me, Argentina. That's for sure. I think that's a song. We've got 1 minute left in this hour. What do we got coming up next? I'll do a little speaker stump speech. I'm going to talk in a similar vein as what Chris was just talking about, the Democratic Lifeline. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, quote, Inflation Reduction Act, which is really the Inflation Enhancement Act. And I'm going to talk about the terrible tyranny of one-party rule, because that's what we've had over the last 19 months. And despite what they're going to tell you about the passage of this recent bill, this says none of this is good for Americans, Democrat or Republican. All that and Susie Moore when we come back as well at 525. Keep it right here. Lots more. Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show with Katie Fitzpatrick when we come back. 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.